Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Common Sense Show. To our friends around the world, welcome to you too. We have a growing international audience. It's certainly not like our guest Sarah Westall, but we're getting a lot of people coming by from Australia and Canada. My heart goes out to you, Canadians. I am so sorry for what you're going through. You could write your own book on communism now. Anyway, welcome. We're coming to you live from the Noble Gold Studios, and Noble Gold is where I put my faith, not in the banks, the Dodd-Frank law. Excuse me. I don't often drink before I come on air, but you know, this time I made an exception. Anyway, all kidding aside, I gotta say this, Noble Gold is where you need to be. Okay. They can take everything you own, Dodd-Frank 2010. They can do anything to your savings and retirement. That's why when I have money that comes in from a deal I close, I only put operating amount in the bank. And the rest goes to precious metals. And when Sarah and I are finished today, I have an appointment with Noble Gold. And we're going to do another deal. And you should too. Gold's gone up 46% in the last year, outpacing every other investment. Now, the feds want me to tell you, hey, there's no guarantees. We agree with that. But Noble Gold is where I put my faith. And I would hope you would too. 877-646-5347. Again, call them directly. 877-646-5347. 646-5347. English is spoken there. Sarah and I are going to talk about tariffs. And Sarah, should I take the first shot?
Go ahead, or I can, whatever you want.
Okay. Well, first of all, you know who our guest is, and she needs no introduction. She's everywhere and anywhere at the same time. She has one of the biggest international shows around, and we'll tell you how you can follow that before we're done. And every time I turn around, she's interviewing someone terrific. It's a great show. It's certainly, I think, in my book, one of the top five shows in America right now that you should be following. So, and we've agreed to do kind of a point counterpoint on tariffs. Now, I'm going to start. I got two things here. One, tariffs have made Nancy Pelosi look like the fool that she is. And she came out in 1996 and said, we need to tariff China when the ratio was 36% tariff for China on us and 2% the other way. She said, we need to make it equal. Okay, thanks, Nancy. Nothing like consistency, is there? And then the thing I would say, Sarah, and this is our starting point, the EU, as of this morning, has bent the knee to Donald Trump's tariff pressure. They have proposed a 0% tariff across the board. And I don't think Trump is necessarily for tariffs. I think he's for telling these people, we can beat you in a war of attrition, so you may as well give in. Okay, I'm back to you now.
Okay, well, first of all, I agree on almost everything you said. Nancy Pelosi, obviously, if anybody hasn't heard her give that speech in 1996, she sounds like Trump at that point. But he made a comment that he was using this to get everybody to the negotiating table. That to me is what I think really is going on. And that's because I did some more research and talked to people who are, you know, who've created software that, you know, like Bain and Company bought out that tracked all the products coming in, all the tariffs, and was one of the first AI things coming into the country, or one of the AI software that was documenting and labeling all the stuff coming into the country. So they knew across the board what the tariffs were. And so forth. And so I had a long conversation with him on what his view was on this and not. And he doesn't want to be public on who he is. But all of it makes sense to me. I used to have an import business as well. But here's the deal. There's a difference between, not all countries are the same. There's a difference between countries that are wealthy like us and ones that are ultra poor, or that who are not really buying our products anyways because they don't have enough money, right? There are countries where people make on average $100 a month, right? And then there are countries like ours who are in the same, you know, they're Western countries who have better healthcare than we do. They have better educational systems than we do. They have better standards of living than we do, right? And those, he's absolutely right. Where we're getting hosed, they're taking advantage of us, we need to force them to the table.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. The countries that are ultra poor, some of those countries, we force those to the table too, like immediately. I mean, I saw a letter from a head of state from one of these top countries that we were one of the very top, on the top of the list of the tariff. And they came back in. So when Donald Trump says that they all came to the table, he's right. But The word on the street in some of these very, very poor countries are they're terrified because the tariff will demolish whole industries and put people into starvation mode. And so there are multiple avenues here. There's the countries, when he talks about that we're being taken advantage of, you've got to differentiate between, I mean, every country is the same in the world. Okay. We have to look at the fact that there's different. And the other thing is, when they were looking at the tariffs, not every product is tariffed at the same amount. So the amount, the fact that they were able to put like these overall numbers, I think was a negotiating tactic. I honestly think this whole thing was a negotiating tactic,
I
which was
do.
smart. And I believe I am agreeing with what he did. But I think we have to be careful, just like with USAID, where we wanted to get rid, where we need to. We don't want to. We need to get rid of the criminal enterprises behind the charitable fronts that are there. We have to be careful not to get rid of the charitable fronts that are doing good while we're getting rid of the whole back-end criminal enterprise that's the majority of it. Because, for example, USAID was being used in some of these really, really poor countries to bring in food for the poor countries, right? That's a good thing. However, these poor countries are so far up their butts in debt with the central bankers because we're now, we, the central bankers and the international corporations, are using these countries. They're putting in large loans. These international corporations are coming in using these loans to build out factories, sell their goods, their precious metal, their resources around the world. They're mostly benefiting. Some of the people locally are, not many. They get jobs, right? But what's happening with USAID and they're bringing in food to these really poor countries where a lot of people are starving. These debt from central bankers are so high that they're selling the food to pay the debt to the central bankers, and that's why these people are still starving. Okay, there's so much more corruption and evilness going on that it's not a one size fits all. And so these tariffs, when you're hearing the pushback by some activist groups who aren't part of the CIA. That they're saying that these poor countries are really going to struggle. They're right. Okay, it's, that stuff is right. Now the CIA pushback is all BS, like the USAID and all this. The coordinated effort where the CIA is behind it, which John Kerioko agreed with me. He said, "Yeah, I believe this is an organized thing where CIA is probably orchestrating it." That's all BS, right? Because they don't want to take the funding away from their soft power. Soft power is fifth generation warfare and all the games that they play. That's what people need to understand. Yeah.
I
I knew
don't
we'd be in agreement overall.
I know I'm going to try harder to disagree with you, but
I told you up front, once we get to the details, you're going to see the nuance. Yeah, you're going to agree.
well, here's the thing, though. Okay, if we don't impose tariffs for the sole reason that the leaders are going to take food and sell it to whatever to keep their country afloat and people are going to starve in that country, then what we are doing by default is unmitigated foreign aid. That's all it is.
It
Okay,
is, yeah.
and if that happens, okay, this now becomes part of the negotiation. Now you say, okay, we're not going to have your people starve, but this is what you're going to do as a price for what's happening. Let me give you an example. If the XYZ country is sitting on minerals and we're throwing money at them and they're playing the game that you are describing, then we say to them, it's going to cost you some of your minerals.
Well, I think that the problem is they're selling it for too low. They need to sell it for prices that allow their people to live in a decent living. And the problem isn't the products and the tariffs and things, right? I mean, that's a band-aid for the bigger problem, which is the central bankers taking advantage of these countries and these loans. It's the, John Perkins economic hitman stuff.
Yeah, I hear what you're saying, and
Yeah.
I don't want to be a country that does that to people, but also too, we as a country deserve to have equal tariffs with other countries.
But that's absolutely true with the countries, all these like equal footing countries, which is probably half of them. I don't know.
Okay, so
And
let's
forcing
talk.
them to get to
Okay.
the negotiating table and not be hosed over and say, you guys have better health care. You got lower prices on your pharmaceuticals. What's that from? You guys have better education. You don't have to pay all these military expenses that we are, which is dumb too.
There you
We
go.
pay your military and your policing. You should pay us a tax for policing things for us. I mean, I don't know, but they do need to negotiate and get on the table. These countries that are living the gravy high life, I shouldn't say gravy. I mean, all of us have problems, but they're living way better than we are, and they don't have to spend their tax money on military around the world. That's kind of stuff we should be negotiating on. Now, a poor country like Cambodia or something, we should be like, okay, what's going on here? Every country has a different thing. It's not one fi size fits all, is what I'm trying to say.
Okay, and listen, let's take Cambodia as an example, okay? I don't want to have our country be responsible for starvation in Cambodia. I absolutely find that unacceptable. But I'll also say, I'm going to go back to my original point, okay? Foreign aid doesn't come without a cost. And what I'm talking about here is when you're dealing with a government and saying, okay, we're going to help you, but you also have to help us. And there could be non-monetary ways, whether it be their foreign policy or whatever it is, access to minerals or transportation routes. There's going to be something that you're going to have to do to make this a deal.
I agree
And
with that. And stop your
that's,
corruption. Get your
well,
crap together, right? Go ahead.
no, okay. I'll be real concrete. I don't want to stay on Ukraine because our censors don't like it. But this is what Trump wants to do with Ukraine. He hasn't cut off aid. Okay. I mean, the aid that's still in the pipeline, still going there. He's simply saying, okay, you got minerals. Look at, we're going to rebuild your country. We're going to really help make your country better than it ever was. The Marshall Plan of Ukraine. Okay. But you're going to have to participate, and you got minerals that we can develop better than you can and apply it. So everybody wins here.
The
And
win-win is the important thing
there
if
you
we're
go.
going to be,
And Zelensky is operating out of fear, though, and I don't want to go down the Ukraine route on this because this is bigger in Ukraine. But I think he's operating out of fear. I feel that he thinks if he doesn't do what Europe wants right now, which is a war position, that his days in office could be numbered. And I
It
understand
should
he's
be numbered.
operating from a survival mode. But just a straight business deal what Donald Trump offered him, I think was fair. We're going to protect you, but okay, you got to help us pay for your
Agreed.
rebuild. And their country in the long run, if you look 10 years down the road, their country would be better off than they were before they got into this conflict. And I do blame, for the record, I do blame Putin. Now, NATO was provocative and the EU was provocative, but Putin
Very
had
much
no,
so.
But anyway,
Well,
going
the
back to your.
information that I'm getting on Putin, which I think that Putin had a more of a right to than Ukraine based on what they were doing, what NATO was doing, but Putin could have, he's been dragging this war out, and he could have ended it really quick too.
Well,
So I
yeah,
think there's
and
a
now
two-way
Putin's
thing.
doing a stupid thing, Sarah. He's now announced the drafting of 160,000 men. By the time they're combat ready, it'd be 6 months. So he's saying, I'm committing to 6 months more of war, and that puts Putin in a bad light. And I'm just, like I said,
More war. We got to get
I've
past
had it to
this.
hear. I've had it to hear with Putin. I really have. He needs to decide. And if Putin were smart, he'd become an ally with the United States. And no one could stand in either country's way. But he's going to have to do some things and be civilized. And right now, he's not being civilized. But anyway,
Well,
off, go ahead.
I and we were and NATO wasn't being civilized either, and either were the Democrats that were involved and Burisma and everything else. That's the problem, is that they act like goons and uncivilized mobsters, and then and then we expect the opposition to act good. You know what I
I
mean? It's
know.
like, it's just stupid. But if we're going to negotiate with these poor countries where we have extreme leverage over them, I think we have to go in with a win-win attitude.
I agree.
And yeah, and that's what we want this, because it's a win, but we also are careful about human not taking advantage of, because they're slaves. At $100 a month, those guys are slaves. We need to go in, not that we are totally responsible for every human being on the planet, but we shouldn't take advantage of our position and be the bully either. We should go in with a win-win attitude.
If we
That's
did
my
that,
opinion.
those leaders would fall into line and they would agree with the United States on most issues because they really wouldn't have a choice.
Well,
Because
they
look,
wouldn't be aligning with China so easily, because
exactly.
China's giving them a better deal than we are.
In Belt
So
Road, you mean the Belt and Road
that's right. Yeah,
projects?
they're giving, yeah, these countries are lining up with China, and China's taking advantage of them too, but less so than the central bankers on the West. And so if he went in with deals that were win-win and truly went in with some more of a win-win attitude, they wouldn't be lining up behind China.
I would
But
agree with that.
China with their aggressive campaign around the world to work with these other countries that felt left behind by the central bankers in the West, we should not be giving China foreign aid, for God's sake. And we should be doing it at least on a win-win equal footing with them. I mean, when they're actually going in and negotiating this whole Belt and Road and bringing all these countries. Now, we are at fault for the fact that these countries are so easily swayed by China in the first place. But I mean, we got to wake up to that
I
and what
would
that
disagree
means.
with one thing. This administration is not at fault.
For sure.
The
I'm saying
previous
the country, yes,
administrations,
but
yeah.
Biden and everybody else, yeah, because we and the central bankers, I think it goes more to the John Perkins economic warfare stuff, where we didn't
Agreed.
care about the people as much as we cared about getting their resources and doing everything, pillaging them. And it was still more of a colonization attitude. And I think that colonization attitude, all it takes is somebody who's better coming in. And there, it's kind of like Afghanistan. And when Afghanistan was failing, and when we did that, when Biden did the debacle, and it was embarrassing on a national scale, I mean, on an international scale. That is so bad what happened in Afghanistan. People should not forget that. But there was a journalist that was covering it, and she was saying that people were so desperate to get out of the country that they would get on any plane they could. They didn't care where the plane was going. They'd get
Yeah,
on it.
and I don't blame them. Their lives were at stake.
They'd get
I
on it.
totally agree with you.
And
Yeah.
I remember the burn. I have a burn picture of my in my mind of this family throwing their baby over the fence, because throwing their baby to anyone on the other side is better than staying. I mean, how awful is that? But that's the idea that going, we're incenting them to go to China.
No, I agree, but there is a shift though in China. I've covered this pretty extensively over the last several months. China's in big trouble, and I'm talking economically. Their leadership is being opposed by the military, and Xi is sacking the military. But how far can he go until they retaliate? And then the young people, it's estimated that three-fourths of the young people, and their equivalent to Gen Z, is saying, to heck with this crap. We're not going to play this game with the CCP and all this stuff. And what they're doing, a lot of them, they're
They're
becoming
checking out.
domestic engineers, staying with their families and living off their parents' income while they do duties for their parents. And that is collapsing the Chinese manufacturing right now. It's ongoing right now as we
Well, they're
speak.
checking out. They're realizing that
Yeah.
they don't want to be part of this, so they're just not being part of it en
Well,
masse, which is
they're saying
amazing.
it's I think the term is Benloy, let it rot. Let the Chinese CCP rot. That's what the young people are saying.
Which is incredible that they're checking out instead of, developing a career and doing something, they're checking out and letting it go that way. That's a huge commitment from a lot of people, which is pretty remarkable.
3 out of 4 is the estimate. And you know what's really led to it? There's one incident, not the total cause, but this is the straw that broke the camel's back. In America, Sarah, if you grew up a poor whatever child you were, and you're the brilliant person that you are, you could get to Harvard and Princeton in America, and you could compete with the wealthy elite's children there for good positions and lift your family up. In China, they did away with the tutoring industry that was huge in that country. And that's what lifted people up and put them on a better status. And the Chinese took it away because too many middle kids were competing with Chinese elite kids.
Oh,
And they
that's
said,
sad. I didn't
that's
know
gone.
that.
And that was the catalyst that started this let it rot mentality with the young people.
That's sad because that goes against the attitudes they had in the past, where they
Well.
were trying, I know, but where they lifted so many people out of poverty. As soon as this is what always happens with communism, though, and this elite, whenever there's too much power at the top instead of distributed at the base. And that's what's, I don't like communism at all because of this, because
Yes.
that leads to this every time when you have centralized decision makers and too much concentration at the top, even though they claim it's the People's Party and it's all distributed, it's the opposite. And that the naive attitudes and beliefs that it's not the opposite, that they think it's distributed when it's really concentrated. And that concentrated power causes all of what we're seeing.
Yeah, that's true. And then the Chinese are even, I don't know what you say. They're committing economic suicide, like the Alibaba deal. That's an example. And here's something I found in the banks. And this is not playing in our mainstream media. I had to go to foreign media to find this. And this is foreign media that's mainstream, but not American. In China right now, they're in a banking crisis. And you know how I always say, like in the opening, I was advertising for Noble Gold. And I said, if you leave your retirement there, that's going to be the hit that you can't recover from because you're an unsecured creditor under the Dodd-Frank Law of 2010. Well, the Chinese don't have a Dodd-Frank Law, but here's what the banks are doing because they can. They're all powerful. Someone goes in to withdraw $10,000 to start a business. Well, we're sorry. You put that money into a retirement account with our bank and can't touch it. And the person did no such thing. And this is widespread right now in China. The banks don't have the funds to cover the deposits because they've done fractional reserve banking. And now in the hole, and people can't get their money. And there's all kinds of unrest with regard to the banks. This is huge, Sarah. I'm telling you, this is a huge problem for the Chinese. Belt and Road could be let's put it this way, a less attractive obstacle for us to fight against because of the Chinese economic woes. I think there's a 50-50 chance Xi Jinping won't be calling the shots in a year.
Well, it'll be interesting, and I see five multiple factions in this global economic war that we're in. And I think that the central bankers have been working hard to take over every faction so they can control. They want to maintain control in the long run, obviously. Everyone wants control, right? So it's really interesting to see how much the central bankers infiltrated and caused this to happen. It doesn't matter, it's still happening. But how much did they cause it to happen so they can maintain control over the system? And they're trying to do the same thing here. By infiltrating the crypto, infiltrating the gold markets and the UCC, code and everything. And how much are they behind it so they can maintain control when the reset occurs and they're standing with control. When the reset happens, they're standing there with the control still versus another faction who happened to win out. That to me is very interesting because I know they're very sophisticated as far as knowing how to infiltrate, having the funds and the resources to do it as well.
What about, are you referring to stablecoin by chance?
Oh, well, I think that that's all of it. I think the crypto, there's the whole crypto market. I think there's still some free ones that are distributed and free, and the algorithms are written still where they're free. The other
Sure.
ones, they've, Bitcoin and things, and it's tied to the market and this, yeah, stable coin, and the big players are behind it. The board has central bankers on it and all that stuff. That is all, that's been part of the plan the whole time, I believe, and to maintain control of the crypto space. And it's another backdoor way to create a CBDC because it's always been in their plan
I agree.
to have a digital currency that's a CBDC. And they're not going to call it that. I mean, they're in the EU, they're coming out just the last few weeks saying we're going to do a CBDC. And the reason why they're able to do that is because they're unelected bureaucrats. The people there don't have any power. Here, they
Exactly.
can't come out straight out and say, we're going to do a CBDC, guys. Everybody would freak out and say, no, you're not. So what they're doing is they're just calling it different things and implementing it. But people have to be careful and realize that it's not all cryptos and it's been infiltrated. And that's why they're going so hard after the crypto entrepreneurs like Reggie Middleton and stuff, because they are like truly about freedom and just distribution or distributed
Don't you think
economics.
Trump has backed off the Gary Gensler from the SEC going after crypto now that Trump has
Oh,
his
for
eye
sure.
in the SEC?
And it looks like Vance. That's why I'm not, when they say they're bad and they're the tech bros and they're the technocracy folks and stuff. Like, I don't, yeah, they're backing tech. That's why I said the whole structure of the world is changing and tech is such a big part of it now, with Apple and Microsoft is raised up now. And there's some financial companies that have creeped into the top 15 again, which I would be surprising if they weren't up there, right? They're the ones funding everything. They should be up there. But these tech companies are absolutely massive. Apple, we've never seen a company this big in the history of the world. So Trump not aligning with these tech companies is, I mean, how do you not align with some tech companies if you're going to have any power in the world and actually get anything done? But these that's but the naysayers are like, we're bringing in technocracy. You can't say that everything that's being done by big tech is technocracy. You have to be smarter than that. And I mean, if you're going to have any influence in this fight, you got to understand the nuances of what's going on. And J.D. Vance, interesting enough, he wrote on a letter as a senator backing saying these crypto entrepreneurs are being attacked, and that this is not, I don't know, I don't remember, I'm paraphrasing, essentially, this is not okay, and this is not freedom, and this is not our country, and you can't do this, essentially, because the SEC was making things up and attacking these people. I've talked to Reggie Middleton on it quite a bit, and I mean, he has more patents than anybody in the crypto space, and he is quite amazing. I mean, he's really did his patents underlie a lot of what's happening in the crypto space.
I
And
agree. I hear what you're saying. And XRP took the brunt of that persecution.
well, that and so did he. I mean, they bankrupted him, and he's still fighting. XRP actually got out from under it, and I think they are helping it come back. I mean,
Now
they
they are.
actually,
They are.
yeah.
They're looked at. When I talk to the crypto people, they say that's probably the best investment out there right now today. I agree with everything you said, but let's lock horns now, okay?
We have
Because
to have a
Trump.
lively conversation. Go ahead.
Trump is for stablecoin. And this has led a lot of people say, see, he's really one of them. He's undermining the dollar. We're going to be in CBDC and we're going to have surveillance and seizure and all the and our friend WW says that all the time. I mean, she's saying that every day, if you know who I'm talking about. But here, I have a different take. Back in Trump's first term, when he came in, Congress didn't even get to see the bill. It was Paul Ryan, of all people, who got to read the Trans-Pacific Partnership, the TPP for short, and he got to recommend up or down on the vote for Congress. Well, what people didn't know when they passed it was there was a 22-person panel that could override anything the U.S. government could do in any branch, Supreme Court.
That's
And
globalism. It was awful.
when Trump got into power, he said, yes, this is a free trade agreement, but I don't like the power here, and therefore I am killing this deal. And he killed it. If Trump was really one of them and wanted all electronic and have surveillance and seizure capability, he wouldn't have done that. What Trump wants is efficiency, but I think there's another element, Sarah. And I think he recognizes he may not be able to save the dollar with the debt that's there, and he's looking for a lifeboat. And
I agree with that.
I think gold and silver and crypto and stablecoin, which is part of the crypto realm, and look at he's cozied up to crypto in a friendly way. He's talked about the value of gold. I think we're going to go through a dollar plummet in a transition to something else. Tell me
Well,
what.
I think, yeah, and I think you're delusional to think that we're not going to have some kind of digital currency backed, and ideally it's backed by gold, and so then it's just like a representative of the gold, right?
Yeah.
It's kind of like the paper dollar when it was backed by gold; it was just a representative of gold. You just have a digital be representative of gold instead of the dollar, but the dollar is so much digital anyways, so you're just going to a more stable, a new environment, but maybe backed by gold, backed by resources that we have in this country. We'll see how he actually does it. But I do think you're right. I don't know. I've had deep conversations with people who are working in different areas in this. I don't know where Trump's aligned with. I don't, he seems rogue, like he's going on his own based on some of this stuff, which I like. I think that's better than being aligned with the central bankers. But I don't know. Now, when it comes to like these naysayers all talking about, you know, he's just bringing in this, and everything is technocracy, and we're doomed. That's where I push back and say, you guys are the structure. I keep going back to the structure of the world has changed. Wake the F up. And you can't just say we can't do any of it. You have to look. In fact, you know, did we ignore what happened to our understanding of what Snowden and Bill Binney and Kirk Wiebe and all these guys, you know, 15 years ago came out with, where they were saying we are being tracked, surveillance 24/7 already. It started after 2001. You don't think in the last 25 years almost they haven't gotten
Patriot
it
Act, yeah.
pretty down? There's parallel systems in telecom. There's parallel systems in banking. When you watch these FBI shows, I mean, the blacklist or whatever, they have access to all of our banking, all of our telecom. They can track us doing everything. That's real. And they've been doing it before Trump was around. So when they say suddenly Doge is coming in and installing the technocratic nightmare, it's like, Maybe
It's the
they're
opposite. It's
adding
the
to it. I don't
opposite.
know, but yeah, exactly. My thing is it's the opposite. But it did that would be irrelevant because they've been building it for decades. And where were
It's
you?
already here. The
Yeah, that's
surveillance.
what I mean.
Elon Musk said this, and he said it on a number of crimes, like the sponsors behind the terrorism against Elon Musk plants, okay, and dealerships. And he said it's surprisingly easy to find out who these people are, and that's because of the parallel systems that have been here and developed since 2001. And people just look at Patriot Act 1 and 2. It tells you exactly what they're going to do. This is why so many of us had a fit in 2001 and 2002. But now this is actually being used for the good. I don't care if you like Elon Musk, but I think any reasonable person said this is not the way we deal with our differences. We don't firebomb businesses and shoot bullets where innocent people could be harmed. I mean, this is not the kind of country I want to live in if we're going to allow that. And he says we can find these people because of these systems. You're absolutely right. But here's what I let me tell you this. If we listen to WW, okay, not WWW, but WW, if we listen to that person, okay, and this were 1900, they would be saying, oh, woe is us. We're going to take on the car and we're going to get away from the horse and buggy. Oh, but no, we can't do that. A car could drive off a cliff. It could run over someone. Someone could get hurt. Oh, no, we can't do the car. That's the attitude people like that person and others are taking towards digital currency. It's a cataclysmic,
Nobody
ridiculous
has
approach.
digital currency that for the most part. That's the
I
thing.
hear you.
And
Exactly.
that's what's so dumb. And I just did a conference presentation where I said we got to get to the point where we actually look at the algorithms almost as policy because so much of our operations have shifted to software. And so if you really want to know what's going on, you've got to almost look at things at the algorithmic level. And that's where it's telling you. You can't say everything is bad because it has technology. Not when you have the biggest corporations in the world with the most power being the tech companies. I mean, come
Now,
on.
I wish you'd disagree with me more, please. This is supposed to be a
It's like having a
debate.
brain. I want to debate some of these people and say, you guys, come on, wake the. When I will post something and say, where were you with the Binney and the Snowden and all these things are. They just ignore me. They have no answer. And so then that makes me wonder what their agenda is. I don't know. I mean, these political agendas are pretty sophisticated. They pay to make it look like they're part of the opposition. And really what they're doing is throwing the opposition off and screwing up the opposition so that the true opposition, so that they can come
Course.
in and do what they want. It's
You know,
they're masters at it.
Sun Tzu said, the art of war, all war is deception. And when you're competing against another corporation, deception is part of it. Absolutely true. And you do deception on many ends. We have infiltrators, we have deception everywhere. And right now, no one trusts our mainstream media. What was I read the other day? The mainstream media in some polls has slipped to 11% approval rating
Worse than
because
Congress,
it's
isn't
the
that
art of this.
bad?
And
How
people.
can you be worse than Congress? But they are.
Well, no, Congress is actually 9%.
Oh, so they're worse. Okay, but
The
I remember hearing a
Democratic Party
report. Go ahead.
is 21%.
Well, I'm surprised they have any percentage, being honest, but they do. And
I'm going to be
I know
interested.
because I'm in our area, all 21% probably comes from Minnesota in the Twin Cities. I don't know. It seems like it.
No, I agree. I agree with you. But the point is people have to realize you're living in a changing world, and the old notion that we're going to have debt-based economies with a fiat currency backed by nothing, it always fails in 60 to 70 years on average when people do it. And Trump is trying to establish something more permanent. Here's my fear, though, Sarah. Stablecoin could easily be converted to CBDC if that was his intention,
For
which it isn't.
sure.
But here's what worries me. What if J.D. Vance doesn't get elected? What if it goes to someone who is in favor of the more extremist approach to the economy, a communist approach like Europe?
Well, but that's why I was saying that we need an army of people that understand this. Right now, we have people like who you're referring to and others who have no real background in any of this area,
That's
who
true.
are the talking heads of this. And we need people who actually get out of the woodwork, who understand this, have this experience, and can help inform people. That's why I like Musk going there with his engineers and doing this stuff because it was showing people. I was listening to people saying, "Get the engineers out of it. They don't understand anything about society." I'm like, "Where, you know?" I'm like, "What? You didn't even know what you were looking at if you didn't have one of them there. They need to be there to be able to present the information so that you understand. They don't realize that these engineers are automating your job, man." And these engineers are the reasons why all these large corporations are the largest the world has ever seen. These engineers need to get out of the shadows and start creating solutions for us so that we can protect ourselves from EMS, so that we can protect ourselves from the AI takeover, and so that we can be smarter. That's who needs to get out of the shadows and start participating. They're not, and they need to. Not the other direction. They've been beaten down for their whole career saying, you need to be in the shadows. You don't know anything about this. No, they need to get out of the shadows into the public sphere. Stop just doing what these big central bank technocrats or whoever they are want them to do and start coming up with solutions. Opposite needs to happen. And that's why I loved it when I started seeing them, Musk bringing these people on the center stage. Now, and Snowden being this, he needs to be back in the center stage. We need the Bill Binnies out there, but they need to be pro freedom and starting to come up with solutions. And we are lacking that.
Well, no,
This is
we're
the
not
first
with
time we've
Trump.
ever seen it.
We're
This is
not
the
with
first time we've
Trump.
ever seen it. Go ahead.
I'm going to speak as a psychologist here, okay? And I'll make the historical parallel right back to Trump. When George Washington wanted to be the commander of the American forces to fight against the British, and Congress was the hastily put together Congress was going to make that decision, he wore his old uniform from the French and Indian War to show he was ready. Okay, he did. He wore, I mean, this was saying, I'm here, I'm ready for the part. Okay, and let's go forward. He became the father of our country. That man had an ego. Washington had an ego, no question about it. And that ego served us all very well. Donald Trump, I believe, thinks he's the second George Washington, and this is why, he's canceled DEI, and I don't really want to get into that for obvious reasons. But he's trying to restore culture back to what he thinks it was. He wants to have currency that's backed up, and since the world reserve currency is now a fading idea, and we'd go totally broke if we stayed with that concept, he wants to go precious metals and stable coin, crypto, all these things. He wants to be the second George Washington, so he is not going to betray America. He wants to make America that shining city on the hill. That's how I read him. He's George
Well, we've
Washington.
lost, I'm sorry, but we've lost so much of the American culture. And I just posted something on X saying, why, how I've been, why I support the Republican Party, and that the reason I do is because I've been canceled off every platform. I lost my teaching at the U of M for speaking out. I have been persecuted and canceled and deplatformed by the establishment Democrat Party and the rhinos for the last 5 years, and probably more like 7 years. I have lost so much in my career because of
I
them.
have to.
And I have
I
been
haven't lost. I don't think
accepted.
I've lost as much as you, but I have lost job opportunities because of my stance on being pro-American, where it's a crime in some people's mind to be a nationalist. Sarah, I don't think I ever told you this. I was years ago, it was 20 years ago. I was teaching and coaching at a community college, and we were invited. The community college district I worked in was invited to go to a seminar run by Arizona State, and they did some things that were pretty good. The new technology and all this. And I thought it was interesting. But then they had one person say this: stop teaching your students that America is a nation of exemplarians. We are a terrible nation, blah, 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 just total disrespecting. And this English professor sitting next to me, she knows me. She's kicking me not to speak up. And then she knows. And I say, excuse me.
That'd be my kid.
I said, the fact that you could get away with saying that in this room speaks to how great America is. I said, if you said that in some nations in this world, you'd be dragged out to a really bad fate. And I said, I don't think you should. You have the right to say it, but you are dead wrong. I
Well,
said,
and
what?
that's what that's exactly what my post is ultimately came down to. I said, they've done all these things to me, and for the most part, the Republican Party has accepted me for being, like I said, I'm an independent. I believe that my values match the majority of of Americans who aren't on the fringes, and that's liberty, freedom, and justice. And that I've been demonetized, canceled, deplatformed, attacked viciously, lost career opportunities, lost my jobs because of the establishment Democrats. For the most part, I've been accepted by the Republicans. That's why I support the Republicans.
Yeah, I hear you,
And
but I got to tell you.
I want them, I want them to be, I'm just trying to say my truth here. Do I want them to be more about freedom? Yeah. Do I want them to support wars? Yeah. Less? Yeah. Do I want them to be more about justice? Yeah. But they're the ones that support me being me, and I have to align with them until we can get our country back. And once I can start being me and we can start saying things and debating issues again, then we will have our country back and I'll be happy. But until then, I gotta align with them because they're the ones fighting for our country. And they're fighting for the exact thing that you talked about. We no longer, though, unless you're on one side, you can say the country sucks, but you can't see the country's excellent anymore.
No, but the thing is let me explain. When we had the immigration invasion of our country, people weren't forced to come here for the most part. They
No.
came here willingly because they know it's a better way of life than where they were coming from. And I respect that as a person. You look at people that want to better themselves. It's just we weren't under obligation to bankrupt ourselves over it.
No, for
And
sure.
we are no under obligation to accept people with bad records that are a threat to people. But I understand that these people want to come here for a better life. I respect that because my dad's side of the family was the same way. But Sarah, here's what I think this all comes down to also too. I support the Republicans too, because the Democrats would have me only speak when I agree with them totally.
That's
And
exactly my point.
if you look at
Yep.
Chuck Schumer, they want to kick Chuck Schumer out as the minority leader of the Senate because he agreed with Trump that having a budget standstill and shutting the country down was a bad thing. And then his people are persecuting him. But here's my point. I am not a dyed-in-the-wool Republican. Now, this is where Doug Thornton and I disagree. We've had this debate on air. Doug says the Republicans don't measure up to high levels of morality. They don't embrace high levels of spirituality, and I agree. But here's my position, and I told him this. I align with the Republicans because it keeps the door open for me to express myself with my personal spiritual beliefs, where if I was on the other side, I think they would be in jeopardy. That's why I support the
Well,
Republicans.
the Republicans is the only place that actually supports people who think independently. And
Yeah, that's true.
that's the organ that is the place right now. The other side has come, like I said, that's been my experience. That's the what I've seen through their actions. And actions count more than words, as you know. Through their actions, they have done everything to attack, smear, take away my livelihood, and destroy me. Just because I don't agree, because I'm exposing evils in the world and I don't agree with everything that they're up
Yeah,
against.
no, I hear what you're
And
saying.
the Republicans didn't do that to me. So they support that independent thought. So I support them because of that. Now, I don't agree with everything that they do.
Yeah, I just, it's
I don't, I
hard
think
for
it's we're
me.
saying the same thing. Go
Yeah,
ahead.
we are. It's hard for me to understand why the Democrats would attack Chuck Schumer so vehemently. Doesn't he have a right to have his own opinion as the leader? Hasn't he earned that right? And I was in shock over this. Because he actually did something to help America, because a shutdown, these people wouldn't have got Social Security checks, Medicare, Medicaid wouldn't have been delivered. I mean, things could have been bad. Veteran benefits, same thing. And he says, I'm
I
not
think
going to
they
do that. I'm
care.
not going to do that to people. And I thought, for one time, I actually saw him in the light of a decent human being that
What
cared.
about the New York mayor? Same way. He went
Oh,
against
no.
them, and now he's saying, now his rhetoric is we're more independent and we're more common sense oriented. He's like kind of shifting away from everything because he's been so brutalized. I mean, they just brutalize
Well,
anybody who
here's what
doesn't.
happens with the mayor. You're absolutely right, Sarah. Here's what happened with Eric Adams. He started complaining because he said, look, I understand you are supporting immigration, okay? But you're so overloading my city, I can't provide services to the people that pay my bills, pay my taxes. I need help from you. And for him just saying that alone, all of a sudden the prosecutors show up and they want to prosecute him because he rode to a meeting in first class rather than coach. I mean, this is so ridiculous. And what's happening, and you see this too. Oh gosh, his name jumps out of my head. The senator had a stroke and beat Dr. Oz.
Oh yeah, I forgot his name. Yes.
Yeah, but
He's
he's now speaking out in terms of talking about helping people, and his party is crucifying him. They've told him to resign. And I don't understand that. And here's why the Democrats are at 21%. Because although I don't agree with the politics of the Republicans to a large degree, they should take no corporate campaign donations. There should be term limits and so forth and so on. Okay. But at least they're doing things that are putting American citizens first. If we save $1 trillion in wasteful tax spending and we put it back on the people, that's a good thing. The Democrats would never do that right now, but there's a rebellion going on in the Democratic Party right now.
Well,
There's
there
this.
should be because they
Yeah.
get to a point where if they're not complete 100% lemmings, they're canceled. They're eating themselves up.
Yeah, you're right.
Evil eats itself, right? And I think it's they got so bad that now they're eating themselves because they were so awful.
Yeah, well, they demand so much compliance and there's no leeway in there. Mike Johnson and Trump aren't on the same page on a lot of things. Okay. But you're not hearing them bash each other. They try to work together. And see, I respect that.
Well, because nobody's going to 100% agree on
Oh,
everything,
well,
and
look
that's
at
the
Tulsi
silliness.
Gabbard. She quit the Democratic Party because she dared to speak out on a couple issues they didn't like. And so they messed with her campaign funding. They messed with her campaign. And after about 6 years, she goes, I can't do this anymore. I'm not a Democrat anymore. And
They
there's
put
a
her on a
rebellion.
targeted list now when she was flying.
Yeah, you
You
can't
heard.
fly.
Yeah, I mean, it's just all sorts of stuff. Well, but they've done that to us too. It's like I try to interview somebody who I really want on my show, but they happen to be represented. Their agency is represented by somebody on the left that controls, used to be working for, I don't know, there used to be a CNN anchor or agent or whatever. And those people, they do everything they can to keep them clear from us. Like we're
Yeah.
trying to reach out and trying to talk about these issues. And those people want to come on my show, but they're gatekeepers and won't allow us to be able to have good conversations with other Americans on issues that we all care about because they won't let them on my show.
I know.
I've seen
I have a
that.
lot of whistleblowers that fit that description. They're Democrats, they're decent people. And here's what's funny. Folks, I've got friends that vote Democratic for the most part. I mean, friends I socialize with, and we're able to have debates like Sarah and I are having here, but we don't carry it over to the personal. We don't. And this, what I was told once, Gary Hart gave me an appointment to the Naval Academy. I ended up not taking it, and I got to meet with him briefly, and we talked about, and politics came up, and he said, "Hey, I fight with the Republicans." He was a Democrat. He said, "I fight with the Republicans every day, and then we go to lunch."
But that's how it should be.
That's how it should be. That's
I
how it
mean,
should
just
be.
so you, and if it gets so bad, but that's when you're issue based. But when the internet started, back in 2000, it was early 90s, but when it was starting to really boom in the 2000s and everything was free, I could talk to anybody. And you remember that too. We were free. We could talk about issues and then it clamped down and suddenly, and it seems like it's mostly from one side as far as me. I'm trying to reach out and talk to these people and I can't. I can get anybody on the right. I can
Well,
get anybody, but if they're controlled by the left, they will not touch you. And we are trying to break down those walls, talk about issues, but they won't touch us. It's on them to stop so that we can start communicating.
it's also on Trump too, and I'm looking at this as more of a responsibility than a bad act he's committed. And here's what I mean by that. Okay, he's going after DEI. Hey, the people that believe in this have a right to express it without being fired. That's my personal belief. However, they don't have a right to spend tax money any way they want, and it's outside what the money was designed to do. And that's what
That's
he's
right.
uncovered. But I don't think anyone should ever be fired because they go, I stand for this cause. As long as you're not advocating for hurting people and killing people,
I think you're
that's
right.
irresponsible. And I think Trump walks a fine line with what he's doing with DEI, and I think he has to allow people the freedom to speak their mind. I mean, this is, listen, you just can't have the conservatives having free speech.
That's right. And
Yeah.
that's what we're doing is just, and I don't even know what I am. I consider myself an independent, but But we shouldn't be in a point because I've been smeared and censored and everything else. Now you're censoring and smearing them. That should never be the case. They should be able to speak up. Same with Israel. Okay. They now, unless somebody vandalizes a school or does something, they should be able to legally protest the war in Gaza. I don't care. That's
Both
part of our
sides need to
rights.
be, if we're going to have a
Yes.
solution, you're right. Both sides have to be heard and both sides have to sit at the table and compromise. And listen, I'm saying this about Iran. I don't see Trump being unreasonable about Iran. You can't let a proxy attack your naval fleet. You can't let a
No.
proxy attack
No.
civilian shipping. And that's what's happening out of Yemen. And I understand why Trump did what he did. But, Trump is talking about, I'm not going to negotiating with Iran unless they send their main people to the table. I think that's a good approach.
It is. Well,
I
you
like what
have
he's
to.
doing with Iran.
Yeah, but he campaigned on not being a war president, and but he walked into a war situation, so he can't, he has to be tough and he has to be aggressive and he has to be able to de-escalate and negotiate. But you can't expect him in the first year even to unwind all the war scenarios that were already in play.
I agree. He basically destroyed the Houthis' harassment ability of international shipping, the naval fleet. He did a good job of that. And he said to Iran, look what I did. And he said, I'm stopping short now, not going after you. You're coming to Washington and we're going to talk. I think that's a good approach. I like that approach there because I'd much rather see us talk than kill people.
Well, oh, for sure. Negotiating for
I don't even debate Ukraine anymore, Sarah. I said, really, when does the war end? That's what I want to know. How does the war end? I don't want one more person to die over something that has now just turned into a war for the sake of having a war.
Yeah, and I think that's part of the, that's where there's this evil streak where they want to keep making money. It's a money laundering situation. The
Yeah.
longer wars go on, the more opportunity they have to launder
I know.
money and do their crap. And it's just, oh, it's not. And then the propaganda is all this other stuff while they're doing this. And the crap, the laundering and the games is the real
Bingo.
enchilada. And this is all bullshit.
I know. I hear what you're saying, and I share your frustration, and I would probably say the same adjective, but I would say this. President Eisenhower warned us about this very
Yep.
clearly, and we need to make my opinion only. As a citizen, I'm saying we need to make that industry, okay, dominated by government so they don't have a profit motive. Take away the profit motive. Because it's in the humanitarian interest. And what we need is a Jesus to walk through the temple and get rid of the corrupt bankers. And what I'm saying here is the same thing. We need someone to come in and clean house on these people because they're omnipresent and they only care about their profits. I agree. Sarah, we got about 30 seconds for you to tell us how to follow your good work. It's everywhere.
Well, thank you so much. I really appreciate it. You are big on podcasts, audio. A lot of people listen to you on audio podcasts. Also, subscribe to me on audio podcasts. I'm back on Spotify. I'm on Apple. I'm on iHeart. I'm on Podbean. I'm on all these podcasts. Subscribe to me on audio podcasts. You can also find me at my website, sarahwestall.com. And if you are watching me on any platform like Rumble or whatever, do a thumbs up. Get engaged because that really helps. Even doing a
It does.
review, do the review on us on Apple. Make sure you do five. My husband thought four was the highest, gave me a four. He brings my average down. What are you doing? But anyways, so give us a five, but give us a review.
I agree totally. And I'm so glad you're back on Spotify. That's awesome. So far, that side of the industry has never tried to censor me, but I think maybe because I try to be fair. Someone's going to have a problem with
You
what I
got
said
lucky.
about DEI people that support that need to be allowed freedom of speech. And some people are going to crucify me for saying that. But honestly, folks, do we want to exhibit the same repression as we've experienced? So on that note, Sarah and I are going to sign off. I'm sorry we didn't have more fireworks. We tried, just we agreed too darn much. We'll see you back here next time. I'm Dave Hodges for our guest, Sarah Westall. This is the Common Sense Show. Thanks for joining us.